This psalm, Psalm 118, turn there. It's an appropriate psalm since we're meeting on the first day of the new year. This is the beginning of a new year, and it gives you sort of a sense of newness. Today's not much different than yesterday, but it does give you a sense of things being new. But in God's providence, He's brought us right here to this psalm, and I wanted to wait till today to preach this last part because of this verse right here. Verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, some quote this when they or somebody around them is going through having a difficult day and times are tough, you know, it's hard. Without a doubt, every day is the Lord's day. He gives us every day we have on this earth. Others apply this to the Lord's day being the first day of the week, Sunday, when we gather to worship the Lord. And without a doubt, this is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day. This is the day He arose. This is the day they assembled, and this is the day we assembled to hear His name declared. And we'll rejoice and be glad in it every time we assemble. But this day that He's talking about here is not a single day. Not a single day. It's not a year comprised of days. It's this age. It's this age. It's this gospel day. It's this gospel age. The time of this gospel dispensation. It's called in Scripture the accepted time. It's called in Scripture the day of salvation. When we're talking, let's say we're looking back and we're looking at some ancient time in history, we might say something like that. In that day, such and such and such and such. We're talking about that age. That's what this means. That's what this is talking about. The Lord made this day. He made this gospel age. It began after our Lord accomplished redeeming His people and arose to the right hand of the Father and gave the Holy Spirit. Everything became new. An all entirely new day. Entirely. It's not merely one new day. It's not merely a new year of days. He made an entirely new age wherein He's made all things new and old things have passed away. This is the day of grace that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. If you want to look, if you'll hold your place here and look over at Isaiah, I'll just show you a few places where it's talking about this gospel age. Isaiah 4, in verse 2, I'm going to just read a few because if you want to do a good study, get your concordance and look up in that day and just read everything the Lord said would happen in that day. He's talking about in this gospel age. Now listen, and you'll be there a while. You'll be there a while. Isaiah 4:2. In that day, there you go, in that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Christ is the branch. We're the fruit He produces. Isaiah 11 verse 10 tells us this. Isaiah 11 10 says, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people, a banner, the Jehovah Nissi. And to it, or to him, shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Isaiah 12 verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I'll praise thee. Thou wast angry with me. Thine anger is turned away, and thou hast comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He's also become my salvation. That's right out of our psalm. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day you shall say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted, sing unto Him. This is what our psalm's saying. It's this gospel age that we are living in right now. Back there in Psalm 118, 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. The Lord Jesus hath made this day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We have a lot of reason to rejoice. We should only rejoice and be glad. Be glad. And we see why in how our Lord made this day. How he made this day. First of all, he did it by the cross. He did it by the cross. Now you hear Christ speaking here. Look back up at verse 16. We know that this psalm is a psalm of, it's the psalm of our Lord. It's the psalm of the cross. It's the psalm of his resurrection, his ascension. Martin Luther loved this psalm. He loved this psalm. He talks about being chastened sore and I shall not die, I shall live. This is what he said. Let me read this to you. I just come across this just a minute ago. He said, "This is my own beloved psalm. Although the entire Psalter and all of Holy Scriptures are dear to me as my only comfort and source of life, I fell in love with this psalm especially. Therefore, I call it my own. When emperors and kings, the wise and the learned, and even saints could not aid me, this psalm proved a friend and helped me out of many great troubles. As a result, it's dearer to me than all the wealth, honor, and power of the Pope, the Turk, and the Emperor. I'd be most unwilling to trade this psalm for all of it." It's because we see Christ so much in this psalm. And we know what Christ suffered here. We don't suffer nothing in no way to that degree, but we can enter into his suffering by our suffering. When you suffer, when you go through chastening, always try to stop and look at it and see how Christ suffered that so much more. It will make you appreciate the things Christ did for us so much more. And that's the best use of it. Now, by the cross, now hear Christ speak here in verse 16, "The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death." Capital L-O-R-D is Jehovah, God the Father. And this is Christ praising him and how his right hand is exalted and how he's done valiantly. "I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord's chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death." This psalm is our Lord's suffering on the cross in place of his sheep. But by him being chastened in our room instead, bearing all our sin and God pouring out all the wrath on him, by him bearing that in our room instead, he accomplished the salvation of his people. Every sinner that God chose to save in Christ was wounded for our transgression. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. That's what he said there. "Lord, you've chastened me sore." That's how his right hand is exalted. That's how the Lord has done valiantly. He sent his own son, and he poured out justice on his son in place of his people. And how amazing, brethren, our Lord Jesus suffered this. He bore this in his body on the tree. And as he bore it, he's praising the Lord for doing it and saying, "This is how your right hand's exalted. You've done valiantly. I shall not die but live," he said, "and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he's not given me over to death. This is the day the Lord has made, this gospel day." Our Lord Jesus Christ lives. He lives. He declares the works of the Lord in the midst of his church. He said in Psalm 22, we know that's our Lord speaking. He said in Psalm 22:22, "I will declare," this is Christ, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." Who's going to hear? Who's going to hear and be blessed today by this word? The meek. The meek. Those that are sinners, mourning, looking for his righteousness only. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever. This is how the Lord made this gospel day. He sent His Son, and He fulfilled all those types and pictures of the old covenant. They were just types and pictures. He fulfilled them all. He's the Lamb, the High Priest. He's everything pictured. That's why when He fulfilled the law for His people, the curtain split from top to bottom, the veil. It's old now. It's done now. Hebrew writer said it's decaying. It's like an old carcass dying away now. Everything's new in Christ. This is showing us true worship. Now, He had people back there that worshiped in the Spirit, by faith, but nothing like He did in the day He arose and sent the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. It's a whole new day. It's a whole new day. Now, when He chastens you sore, just remember, you'll live and not die. And when you come out of it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to declare the works of the Lord. Listen to Paul. In 2 Corinthians 6, he talked about all those things that he bore. He said stripes and imprisonments and tumults and labors and watchings and fastings. Listen to this. He said, by honor and dishonor. He was honored sometime. He was dishonored sometime. By evil report and good report. As deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live. I shall not die, I shall live. Why? Christ said, because I live, you shall live also. As chastened, He chastened me sore, but He hadn't killed me. Chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. This is the believer's life in this world. And it's to keep us declaring His works, knowing Christ is all, seeing His right hand doing valiantly, and how He saved us from our sin. Now, after Christ arose, or as He arose to the right hand of the Father, in our psalm, in Psalm 118:19, we see what our Lord Jesus cried out. Open to me, verse 19, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. This is Christ speaking. In this new day, the Lord has made us worship in newness of spirit. In newness of spirit. At Pentecost, the Lord Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. And He began making those that He had redeemed to worship in newness of spirit rather than the oldness of the letter. That's what He began doing. He began to teach His people that He's made all things new and the old things are passed away. It doesn't mean that we can't look into these old things and get a blessing from them, but it means the old ways of worship are gone. This is the new day that He's made. Now, under the old covenant, the Lord made the city, Jerusalem, in Mount Zion, to be the city. That was the city in the earth. But that typified a spiritual city. A spiritual city. New Jerusalem in heavenly Mount Zion. Those that's born again of the Spirit of God and given a new spirit, so that we worship God in spirit and in truth now in the new man perfectly with no guile because he's whole. We worship as citizens of that new Jerusalem. We're citizens. That's what Paul meant in Philippians 3 when he said our conversations in the heavens. That word conversation means our citizenship. It's in the heavens. Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. This is the city Abraham looked for, whose builder and maker is God, the city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He saw this by faith, by the Spirit. It's not that there wasn't some worshiping in that old covenant in newness of spirit. They were, but nothing like they did after the day of Pentecost. That earthly city now, what does this have to do with our text? That earthly city had gates. It had walls around it. It had gates. It was to keep people out that didn't belong in the city. Three gates facing each direction. It didn't matter if you come from the north, the south, the east, the west, there was a gate for you to enter. Sinner, it don't matter where you're coming from. It don't matter how bad you are. It don't matter what you've done. It don't matter. There's whatever direction you're coming from. There's a gate. Now, by settling judgment for his people, Christ ascended and he said, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. Open them to me. I'll go into them. I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." Isaiah saw the day the Lord made. Look at Isaiah 26. This is what he said about this. Isaiah 26. Verse 1, he said, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Capital S, salvation, will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Let's look at Revelation 21. Revelation 21, you know, John. Revelation 21, verse 1. This is when, you know, in the end. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven, the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." He's going to even make that new. You see, everything that he made here is just the stage in that old covenant to show spiritual things. That new day's come now. We worship God in spirit. Kingdom of God's not meat and drink. It's not external. The kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. We're in the Holy Ghost, in spirit, and in truth, in that which God's created. He said here now, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem." There it is, the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. This city now is his people. It's the citizens of it that make it up. And we've been prepared. He's adorned us. And you see the whole city coming down, but you get the analogy. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Look down now at verse 21. It tells you there was three gates on each side, verse 21. "And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one of pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. This is the gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter." This is what our Lord's talking about. Christ, now listen, he's the pearl of great price. And he is the gate. Christ is the gate. He's opened the way. He's opened the gates of righteousness. He is the door, he said. He is the straight gate. He is the way of holiness. He is the way into this heavenly Jerusalem. You see, nothing can enter this holy city that defiles. That means, if God just left a man to himself, gave him everything in the scriptures, said, "Here it is, now you come to God in the righteousness I demand," there is no way he could enter. Because everything about us defiles. Everything about those that enter this new Jerusalem has got to be created of God entirely new. And that's what Christ did when he laid down his life for his people. And then when he arose, him crying out, "Open ye the gates of righteousness." This gate, singular, which the righteous shall enter. He is the way. He's the way. He's the way. And only those who've been made the righteousness of God in him can enter. The righteousness of God. That's how righteous we got to be. The righteousness of God. It's only by the holiness of the Lord Jesus. It's only by the righteousness of Christ. If it's by any holiness so-called in us, we're going to boast in it. And he's not going to give you the glory. It's Christ our holiness and Christ our righteousness. And that's how we enter this new Jerusalem. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you're sitting here for the first time, you hear him and see him and behold him. Believe him today. This is real. This is coming. Did you not Can you not look in history and just in secular history? Can you not look and see that there is a giant difference between B.C. and after and A.D.? That ought to tell you right there, just on a natural level, what he said is so. Everything became new by what he accomplished. This worship is in spirit. It's in spirit. He said the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now, not only did that city typify spiritual things with those gates, the temple did too. See, you would go in the gates of the city, and then you come to the temple. Well, guess what? It's got a wall around it. Not everybody can go into the temple. The principle's the same. The lesson's the same. You got to be perfectly holy and righteous to go in. First thing you come to when you went through, and it had gates, and the first thing you come to was a basin, so you washed. Blood had to be spilled. Once you entered that wall around it, through the gate, you saw something entirely new. Now, not if you in the old covenant, here's what we see. When you enter in Christ by faith, the gate, you find out Christ is, he's not only the gate that gives you the entrance. He's the temple. He's the temple. Look here in our text, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. The Lord Jesus is not only the gate of entrance, he's the headstone. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation. He's the temple itself. Revelation 21, 22, I won't have you turn back over there, but I'm going to quote it two more times if you want to mark it. Revelation 21, 22, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The Lord Jesus quoted verse 22, right here, where he said, the stone which the builders refused become the headstone of the corner. He gave that parable about the vineyard and about how the Lord sent servants into the vineyard, but they didn't bring him the fruits. So he sent other servants, and they beat them, and they mocked them. And then he said, I'll send my son, they'll receive him. And they said, well, let's kill him and seize the inheritance for ourselves. And our Lord turned right around after that, and he said to them, he said, have you never heard? The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. And they knew he was talking about them being the builders who refused him, the cornerstone. He knew that. They knew that. In Acts 3, I want you to go there, Acts 3. In Acts 3, Peter healed a lame man. I want you to see where he healed this lame man. Acts 3. Verse 2. A certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. That's what believers do for lost folk. That are lame from their mother's womb. We try to carry them. Where are we carrying them to? They laid him daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to beg. They brought him there to beg, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Isn't that a beautiful picture? Here is a man lame from his mother's womb at the gate called Beautiful. They say that gate was covered in Corinthian brass, shined brighter than gold. And there he's at that gate called Beautiful, and he's begging mercy. He's begging mercy, begging for handouts as people go in. And he got something that day. Look at verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You know what the Lord said 700 years before this? He said, in that day, the lame are going to leap for joy. That's what he said, in that day. Now, that infuriated the scribes and Pharisees because Peter declared that the Lord Jesus did that. And that declared to them, he is risen and he is indeed both Lord and Christ. And it made the scribes and Pharisees angry. that he did this for this man. In verse 8, they brought Peter before them and they questioned him. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost. See, this thing's all new. It's of the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Ghost, he said to them, "You rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which have become the heads of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. This is Christ. He's the headstone. He's the cornerstone. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. He holds he's the foundation stone. He's the builder who's building you up as lively stones. Peter said that in his epistle. Building us up as lively stones. He's the cornerstone that holds the whole structure together in unity. Jew and Gentile, bond and free, rich and poor. And he's the headstone. What does all that mean? It means if we would be righteous, to come before a holy, holy, holy God in the holiest of holies in the temple, in his holy temple in heaven, then, brethren, we're going to have to enter through faith in Christ's name. We're going to have to believe on him. There's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. That means we're going to have to be saved by his righteousness alone, his holiness alone. None but Christ could call for these gates to be opened. Me and you couldn't walk up to these gates and say, "Oh, open the gates of righteousness to me." You and me couldn't say that. But the righteous one could. The righteous one could. None but Christ could declare emphatically, "The righteous shall enter this gate." Who's he talking about? Everybody he made righteous. They shall enter this gate. They're going to enter by Christ. How come? Christ is going to bring them. They're going to do it by his power. Now back there in our text, Psalm 118:23, "This is the Lord's doing." You see that? It's marvelous in our eyes. Isn't it marvelous to you? Even the Pharisees and scribes marveled. This is marvelous. "This is the day which the Lord hath made." This is a new age. This is a new day. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The Lord said back up there in verse 21, "I'll praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation." Let me tell you when the prophecy said he would do that. I won't have you turn, but Isaiah 49:8. Listen, this is the Father speaking to the Son. He said, "I'll praise thee, for thou hast heard me and you've become my salvation." Christ said that. He cried out to him on the cross and God heard him and God saved him out of that tomb, and he ascended to the Father, the righteousness of his people, fulfilled the law, did everything God sent him to do. When did God say he would hear him and answer him? Listen to this from Isaiah 49:8. "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time," that's this day, "have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I'll preserve thee, and I'll give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritage, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them in darkness, show yourself. They shall feed in the ways, and their pasture shall be in all high places." You see that? He said, "I've heard you." When? In an acceptable time, in the day of salvation. Paul quoted that. 2 Corinthians 6:2. He said, "I've heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee." And this is Paul's interpretation of that. "Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the day of grace right now. Let nobody here reject Christ like the Pharisees did. Don't let anybody reject him like the Pharisees did. They were holy folks in appearance. You know, God's people are different than that. They're not trying to pretend they're something they're not, and they got enough sin in them that nobody can condemn them for it. Or any could condemn them for it, but they can't because of Christ. But the Pharisees thought their holiness was in something they did. And they rejected the stone. They rejected it. You laid down on this stone. You build on this stone alone. Everything you do, do it knowing you can plead in righteous in Christ. He's your one foundation. And then you can say with Paul, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Then you can say what our Lord said in the Psalm, when he chastens you sore, even if he lets somebody kill you, you're not going to die, you're going to live. They said Wycliffe, whenever he had got sick and was on his deathbed, and all these fellows came to him, these friars came to him, and got out on each side of his bed, and they thought, you know, now he's going to give up this, this gospel of grace he keeps preaching. On his deathbed, and they're saying all these things to him. And then he wouldn't recant, and then they turned their whole temper toward him, and they began to demand confession from him, to deny Christ and confess all his sin. And they said he leaned up on the bed just as far as he could lean up. And he said, I shall not die, but live. And I'll declare all the wicked works of you friars. That's grace. Because when you die, Christ said, he that dieth, he that liveth and believeth me, though you die, yet shall you live. Yet shall you live. Now, thirdly, this is what our Lord's going to cause every believer to do. Verse 25, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. That is Hosanna. Save now, beseech thee, O Lord. All our confidence is Christ our King to do the saving. We're satisfied in Christ, just like he said we would be. Satisfied under his government. Satisfied in his ability to save. And we give all the honor and all the praise to the Prince of Life, beseeching him to save. And we beseech him, O Lord, send now prosperity. What is that? Give your power to the gospel as it goes forth. Quicken your people in their heart. Pull down the strongholds. Make your people willing in the day of your power to cast all their care on Christ. Build up those you've already called, increasing our faith. That's the prosperity. And we bless the Lord for revealing this gospel to us. Verse 26, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We've blessed you out of the house of the Lord. You know who we behold that's come to us? You know who we're talking about when we say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord? It's Christ. He came to us and preached this gospel to us. Do you believe that? He did. Look down at verse 27. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Listen to this now. Isaiah 52:6. Christ talked about his people being taken away for naught. He was talking about the Pharisees and the scribes and the day he came. Now listen to what he said. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day. In that day. This day the Lord made. He said, they're going to know I am he that doth speak. Behold, it's I. You hear Christ speaking? If you hear spiritually, that's who you hear speaking. That's the only way we hear spiritually. And we say, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that says to Zion, thy God reigneth. Our God reigneth. And not only do we bless him, we've blessed you out of your house, we say. But not only do we give him all the honor for, you know, we beseech him to save. Save me, Lord. That's what we say. That's our prayer all the time. Save me, Lord. Send this prosperity to my heart and do it for all your people. And we praise him for coming and preaching this gospel to us. And then we ask him to keep us inseparably united with Christ. Watch this. Verse 27. God is the Lord which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords even to the horns of the altar. Christ is that light. Again, in Revelation 21:23, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb's the light thereof. I'm getting a picture that the Lord's everything. He's all and in all for his people. When he showed us light, he showed us he's holy and he's righteous and he demands perfection. But he showed us the sacrifice. He showed us Christ is the sacrifice. He's the altar. He's the one in whom we're complete. And with Christ abiding in us, we're holy. And by Christ's robe of righteousness on us, we're righteous. And all of this is through faith in his Son. And we behold Christ now by his light. And you know what we say? The horns of the altar. Bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. We want to be a living sacrifice unto God because of his mercies to us. But this is the thing. The horns of the altar signify power. Christ is the altar and he's the power. And we ask him, Lord, bind the sacrifice to the altar. We want to lay hold of Christ and we want to never let go of Christ. We want to be inseparably united with Christ. You remember when the Lord provided that lamb for Abraham and he had Isaac bound on the altar and was about to kill his son and they saw that ram caught in the thicket? What did Abraham do? He laid hold of that substitute and he bound him to that altar. What's that a picture of? That's a picture of us crying out, Lord, make Christ everything to make me inseparably bound to the altar. Make me united with him. Make me keep believing on Christ. Make me keep preaching Christ. Make me keep praising Christ. Make me keep following Christ. Make me keep looking for his return. Bind me inseparably with him. He said in Isaiah 17:7, at that day shall a man look to his maker and his eyes shall have respect to the Holy One of Israel. That's what we're talking about. And he shall not look to man-made altars and the works of his hands, neither shall have he respect which his fingers have to the things his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. And we know he's the power to keep us, and we're praying, Lord, do this for us. And so, by Christ's precious blood, we praise him alone. Verse 28, thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. He ended the same way he started. His mercy endureth forever. That's how we're saved, brethren. It wasn't just that first step out of the jail cell that we needed mercy. It's every step to the last one. But brethren, this is the good news. This is the day, the gospel age that this Lord has made. And we will rejoice and we'll be glad in it. He's going to keep you rejoicing. Keep you glad. All right, let's observe the Lord's table. Brother Adam, Brother Art, can y'all pass out the elements?